Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
This is Dr. Joanne White. Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show, and we have a great lineup today, and our focus today is going to be on midlife, especially for women. And many of you folks, even if you're not at midlife, you may want to tune in because you may be getting there, or you may know some friends, or it may even be your mother who is entering midlife. And oftentimes there was not a lot of information about what it was like to be in middle age or midlife, and all that's changing now because now there's a lot of information and materials, and one of the first guests is really going to speak a lot about that in just a moment. And so think about what happens when you reach midlife, and oftentimes at that particular point people start doing a self-assessment, a reassessment of where they are, of where they've been, and really start looking ahead and start looking at different values and really kind of just doing, like I said, that self-examination to see what's going on with them and are they happy. And oftentimes it may mean to shift gears, may mean that it's time to move out of a job. Oftentimes during midlife, what happens is that people who have children, they're also going through the empty nest. A lot of their children may be off to college, and so they're going through that. And oftentimes in midlife, what may also be happening is their parents are aging, and what they're experiencing is not only the taking care of kids, but taking care of parents and trying to figure out at the same time who they are and where they're headed. And one of the people that's going to help shed light on that is my first guest, and that is Frankie Picasso, who is a solution specialist and a certified life, business, and master coach trainer, and she specializes in the positively impossible. She's been a full-time radio host of Mission Unstoppable Radio and the Frankie and Johnny Music Hour, also on Blog Talk Radio. And Frankie's the author of Midlife Mojo, How to Get Through the Midlife Crisis and Emerge as Your True Self, and No Bull Allowed, How to Lose the Losers and Lasso in Love. Frankie, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Joanne. I'm really excited to talk to you and to reach out to your listeners today.
I think it's great to have you. And my first question is, years ago, there was a book about the midlife crisis and whatever. Does it really exist, Frankie?
You know, people talk about the midlife crisis. I'd like to change that crisis to metamorphosis, the midlife metamorphosis. Excuse me. I think it's a time where we really grow into who we are supposed to be. And part of that is, like you mentioned, that questioning of our life. Like, who am I? You know, we often ask ourselves that several times through our lives. You know, a lot of people look up at the sky and wonder at their existence and say, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? There's a lot of people, as you know, crying out. You can see it on the internet all the time. Who am I and what's my purpose? And I think midlife is the time where you begin to find those answers, where we move from what I like to call our socialized self, the one who was taught to be a good little boy and girl and do what mom and dad said, and then you go to school and then you get a job and get married and have kids, to the person who, the individual, who actually came here, I like to call Earth our classroom, and really live out that purpose and become the person that we were meant to be.
You know, I think that's really, firstly, I love the idea of metamorphosis because I know that that works, and I think that you're so right on. We are going through a lot of different changes and thinking about our lives in a different way. And oftentimes the role, particularly for women, the role as mother, if you've been a mother and raising children, that shifts. And so it's about redefining that. And many women at that particular time come up like initially empty, and maybe that's where that crisis came from, because they have to really go in and search within to figure out what's that about. So when you talk about going through this metamorphosis and emerging as your true self, what is that about? What and how do people do that?
Interesting question. I just want to go back 1 second to that crisis, because I think it's important to note is that oftentimes it seems like a crisis when you're going through it. Change happens best in chaos. And, you know, when you're fumbling around going, you know, maybe it's my marriage and maybe it's this and maybe it's my job and maybe I should just quit everything and run away. That can feel like a crisis to you and to the people around you. So I think that is true. There are some people who go through that process like a bull in a china shop, and there's other people who just quietly hum through it. And just before I get to your question, there is a phenomenon that I have noticed, especially since you're going to be talking about women, is that sometime in their mid-30s, it's almost like they're having their midlife crisis, a first one. And I just see so, and I went searching for it because, am I crazy? Is this real? And I did find that there was something that happens to women in their mid-30s where a lot of them will just pick up and leave their families and you know, just, I need to be on my own now. I need to, you know, get divorced. I need to, whatever it is, pick up and be different from who they were. It's almost like they're waking up from the child bride, let's say, to somebody who lived with mom and dad. And even if that wasn't you, something's happening. I don't know if you've noticed that yourself or not, but
Do you think it's happening earlier now, and then maybe that's what it is, because our lives are changing and maybe that's what's occurring and that's what's going on with them? Because I think that at any particular time, even in their 20s, they talk about some kind of shift. When you get to 29, there's a big life change and a life stage and kind of re-entering or entering a new phase of your life. So do you think that's it?
Maybe, but I think, you know, we do go through a second one, you know, all of us in our midlife, especially when menopause hits. There's, you know, something else is going on, and like you said, the children leave the nest, and that's a whole different situation. But this little thing that happens in the 30s, if you're a woman and you're in your 30s, you know, look for it, or if you even felt that little nut, let's say, to do something different or be different, it's just there.
Okay, we want to remind our listeners that you can call in, and the guest call-in number is 805-285-9790, and Frankie's willing to talk to you just as I am. And so, yeah, how do they emerge at their true self in their...
Well, I think part of it is that, like you mentioned, that questioning. You begin to question your life and ask yourself, you know, am I happy? Shakespeare said all the world's a stage, and we are just players, you know, upon it. So if that is true, let's say for a moment that is true, did you get the right role? Are you playing the role that you feel you were meant to play? And if you're not, then that's the first stage to saying, you know what, I don't feel authentic. I should be doing something different. And start asking yourself how you can be different. How can you change what's going on in your life? And start to really question your thoughts and ask, is it true? You know, we never question ourselves and our beliefs. Not very often unless, you know, we're really pressed for it. But when was the last time you challenged your beliefs, dissected them, and just found that they no longer serve you, or that you're believing something that your parents believe just because by rote, not because you've thought differently or asked yourself, you know, do I really feel this way? And you know, be honest with your intention and you know, am I happy living, you know, would I have the same friends? Would I live in the same city? What do I really want to be? Allow your truth to come forward and don't be afraid of it. You know, many times I talked about our socialized self in the beginning. You might have wanted to be an artist, and you know, your you can't make money at art. You really need to go and get that accounting degree or your doctorate or whatever it might be. And that's not living your dream. It's living somebody else's dream. And even though people would say, you're crazy to leave that. I mean, I remember when I was teaching coaching, Joanne, and there were many people who were who would come to take, you know, the course, and they would be like, I think there was a neurosurgeon there. I'm like, what? What's he wants to quit neurosurgery and become a life coach? Like, what's up with that? But that was really, you know, maybe neurosurgery wasn't his dream. He wanted to help people in a different way. And so I think that's the emergence of our true self. Is who do you really, who are you and who do you want to be?
And, you know, as you're talking, and I believe what you're saying, you're right on with that, but as you're talking, I'm also thinking that perhaps that's what's going on with the women at 35. They've embraced a lifestyle, whether it be raising children or a particular career based on what their parents' values were or what they were expected to do, and then they come to some realization, like you said, and they're not happy. So maybe that's going on in a parallel way with women in their 35, and also when you're talking about women at midlife and particularly after menopause. So let's shift.
Well, you know, we all still grow up on fairy tales and fairy tale endings, and as women, you know, we believe in having our dream wedding and our prince, and we all want, you know, someone to ask us to marry them and have children, and then, you know, that's done. Okay, well, that wasn't as fulfilling as I thought it was going to be, or at least I can check that off my bucket list. Now what? You know, now I need to be me. Now I need to, you know, fulfill something different. And they wake up to that, and they're desperately struggling to find out who they are. And part of that is independence, independence of thinking, independence of being. And so you don't have to do it away from other people, but sometimes, just like this crisis, you know, the so-called midlife crisis, it's, you need to break free from the bonds, you know, the societal bonds, let's say, that hold you, to find out what you if you still love what you have, if you want something different. It's hard when you're in the middle of it to know sometimes.
You know, you're right. I mean, I really believe that people need to go through some sort of self-examination. They really have to, because it's not going to happen externally. It's going to come from within, and you're going to have to make some decisions and decide, well, if this life is not what it was, what I thought it was cut out to be, what does it really mean, and what are the risks, and what's going to happen? And you've got to really look at that and look at who you are. And also, we change, so who you were and who you are now and what that means within the context of your present life. So let's look at something for a minute. You talk about main fears that people that you work with specifically that really hold people back from moving ahead, from being happy. What do you think, given your experience working with particularly women, but what seem to be the fears, the main three fears that are holding women back?
Well, fear of change is the big one. Fear of failure and fear of success. But I would say that for women, is probably fear of change. You know, you said at the beginning of the program that I specialized in the impossible. And Theodore Rethke, you know, the great American poet, said that what the world needs now is more people who specialize in the impossible. And I think that if you look at the word impossible, it's I am possible. And I want people to understand that everything is possible for them. Every dream that they have, everything that they want to do, no matter how subjugated you are, you know, it is possible to reach and be who it is that you want to be. So we do fear change more than anything. But the Chinese have a wonderful character for the word change. And it's two, actually. It's danger and opportunity. So while it might feel dangerous to come out of your comfort zone, that's where opportunity lies.
You know, it just seems the same way with the crisis. What we initially mm-hmm. look at as a crisis and is what you're coining, Frankie, a metamorphosis. So it's like, what really are you looking at? Because when anything happens in your life and it gets shook up, it does have that element of stress and that element of change. And you are so right on. We as human beings fear change and try to avoid it as much as possible. And yet,
tooth and nail.
Right. But here. here you are in midlife, and the change is happening in terms of, firstly, your body's going through all sorts of changes, and you can't even figure out what that's about and how to recognize that. Your children may be off to college, and so that change is happening, or off to work, or just something shifting. And then you may have parents, like I said earlier, and their health may be failing, and then there may have to be different kinds of intervention that you're engaged in. So your life gets shook up whether or not you are prepared or you want it. So it's about really dealing with it. And I love what you're talking about in terms of the impossible, because I am is a very powerful, intentional phrase that has a lot of energy and a lot of forward motion. So it really, I am possible. It's fantastic. Okay.
You know, a lot of people go through the, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going
to
ask another question.
I was just going to talk about opportunity. People say, you know, opportunities don't come to me. They pass me by. Everybody else gets them except for me. But, you know, in truth, opportunities just aren't actioned upon. I think they come to all of us. And it depends on who you are if you're going to take up on it. And Lee Iacocca from Chrysler, you know, he said, we're continually faced by great opportunities disguised as insoluble problems. I love that.
Right. And, you know, we oftentimes people are looking at opportunities, or they're not paying attention to them, and they pass it by, and then they say, well, like you said, no, there are no opportunities. Everybody else has an opportunity, but not me. And it's because we're not paying attention. So it is very important. So what should people be asking themselves in terms of looking at this midlife challenge or midlife metamorphosis? What kinds of questions will help women get through this more successfully that they need to really do some introspection with?
Well, I think that they need to respect and validate themselves and look at where their self-esteem lies and know that their self-esteem and how they feel about themselves, their overall opinion about themselves, really also defines the limits that they set for themselves. So that's number one. Look at how you feel about your abilities and who you are. And again, the question is, am I in the right role? Would I be with the same mate if, you know, all things equal? Would I still be here, or do I want something different? The house, my friends, are my friends supporting me? Are they, you know, do I love this lifestyle that I'm living? And yearning for something more. I find that a lot of people in midlife, Joanne, begin to yearn for ways to help other people. And that's one of the signs of changing. There's also a feeling that the universe is calling you to something different. You don't maybe know what it is, but you just feel like you're supposed to be doing something else. The same things don't thrill you as they used to. You know, going out and buying a new Prada bag just isn't as exciting as it used to be. So these are kind of signs that you're changing. And so the question is to ask yourself when you're feeling this interest, let's say, in your life, is it menopause, is it this, is it that, or what is it? Is it really that you have changed and it's time to wake up to who you really are supposed to be? So any questions that you can ask, even ask your friends, you know, who do you think I am? What are my values, or what do you see as my values? One of the things that I do when I first start to work with somebody is to talk about their values. What is it? What are your top 10 values? What is it that you value? Because a lot of times when you're not in alignment with those values, when you're living a life that's not aligned, you're unhappy.
You know, that's really so very profound, and I've written a co-authored a book, and my chapter is on personal and professional alignment, because statistically speaking, you're so right. People who are not truly aligned with their values can suffer stress, depression, anxiety, lack of focus on their job, lack of even not even being in attendance. They don't want to go to their job. So there's a lot going on with that, and it's really very important that we address that too. So let's shift gears, because we only have a few minutes here, and I want to, just before we even talk about your other book, what do people need to take a look at if they're having a midlife metamorphosis or a midlife crisis? How do they know? What are the signs? What do they need to look for so that we can help women sort of prepare for this, Frankie, and know what to do?
Well, I started to give you that in the last little message there, that your world no longer rocks you, that, you know, you're living with uncertainty and you're afraid that you're not going to ever reach your potential or that life has just passed you by. Again, you feel a deep need to give back to the world. Maybe your body's changing and you don't like where it's going. Your relationships aren't fulfilling. And things aren't as bright, maybe, as they used to be. And, again, that the universe is, you feel like you're supposed to be doing something, but you don't know what, or maybe you do. Maybe you hear the universe talk to you. A lot of people are very spiritual. They're meditating. They hear. But the voices that are going on inside your head, you know, what we call the inner game, you need to address that and listen to that voice and understand if it's your voice or if it's somebody else's voice. Because oftentimes the voices in our head belong to somebody else. I like to call them the board of directors. But, you know, I can hear my mother's voice. I can hear, you know, her saying stuff. And I might be just about to spout that off, and I realize, wait, that's not me. That's her. You know, maybe I don't think that way. But we don't address it usually. We don't turn ourselves back into that voice and go, is this something I believe? Is this something I want? And so it really is a matter of, like you said, life is an inside job. That's where it all happens. And your body is the biggest bioprocessor of that. So listen to your body and listen to your thoughts.
You know, it's really very not very comfortable to go through any kind of transition or transformation or metamorphosis. And it's really, I do a lot of speaking about that. You really have to get comfortable, like you said earlier, Frankie, with change. And I don't know how to say this again, but it's about recognizing, like you said earlier, that it's going to happen anyway. And so, particularly in midlife, the changes that are happening in your body, you may be able to do cosmetic surgery or whatever, but
yeah.
You may not be able to prevent menopause, and therefore your body does shift, and you have to reconcile the changes that you're going through and really emerge from that whole, you were talking about self-esteem and with a real true sense of yourself. And it's just really wonderful that you've written this book, because I think it's so important for women so important for women to address this within themselves. But we have a couple of minutes, and I love the title of your your other book, so No Bull Allowed, How to Lose the Losers and Lasso in Love. Can you talk about that for a minute or less, and then tell us how we can get a hold of you, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of your books and reach you, Frankie?
Well, sure. The No Bull Allowed book, I co-authored that with Kelly Wallace. She's my fellow love wrangler. And we decided to look at relationships through song. And because in every love song, they have gone the gamut of all the problems, you know, falling in love, being in love, splitting up from love, going away. It all happens in song. And so we took about 38, 40 songs, and we addressed them through a coaching methodology and talked about our own personal experiences. Between us, we'd had 4 divorces, and really just, you know, poured our heart out to the reader with, at the end of each chapter, there was, you know, the noble advice that we gave them, and it was like a workbook and a book that you could read. You didn't have to read it in sequence. You could just go to different song titles and see what they were about. But it was about, again, the inner game. It's about finding out who you are, because good relationships start with you. It's not, you know, you can't play the blame game, and you can't blame somebody else, because whoever you are and what you were thinking attracted that person in the first place.
And you know what? You said something that's really very key. Good relationships start with you. And I'm going to add to that that it's important to really have that very strong, very comfortable, very amicable and loving relationship with yourself, and then start looking for somebody else who resonates with that. So how can people buy your books, Frankie, get a hold of you, and find out more about what you do and get the help that they need?
Well, the books themselves, Midlife Mojo and Nobula Loud, are both on Amazon.com, and they're both in paperback and e-format. You can go to my website, www.unstoppablefrankiepicasso.com, and you can write to me at coachpicasso@rogers.com. And I'm so happy to speak to anybody and converse with you. I'm on Facebook. Just look for me anywhere and just send me something, and I'll respond.
And that's Picasso, P-I-C-A-S-S-O, folks, just so that you make sure that we get it right. Let's go to frankiepicasso.com. And she's great. Her books are something that you folks can really benefit from, and I'm interested in taking a look at that second book.
The No Bull Allowed.
Right, The No Bull Allowed. So
I'll just leave you with one thing. I don't know if you have a second or not, but the one thing most women do that sabotage their relationships, you know what it is, Joanne?
What's that?
You mentioned it. It's not focusing on yourself. It's focusing more on your partner than on you. You need to focus on you. Your cup needs to be full, and then you can give to somebody else. And the work needs to be done on you too before you.
Not only that. Once you're focusing on yourself and your cup is full, as you say, you're actually choosing a partner that's more in sync with who you are, rather than finding a partner who only likes the downtrodden, the low self-esteem. So if you want the partner that really exemplifies you being empowered and strong and feeling good about yourself, you got to do what Frankie and I have been suggesting, and that is really go inside and take care of you and take care of who you are. Frankie, you've been a great guest, and give everybody your website one more time so that they can really get a hold of it.
Thank you so much for being such a wonderful host. Again, it's www.unstoppablefrankiepicasso.com, and I really look forward to hearing from you. And have a wonderful rest of the show. And it's a show that Joanne, the service she's providing to all of you. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, Frankie.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, Frankie really hit upon something that's very, very important, and so we're going to talk about that a little bit while we're waiting for our next guest to be here. And what's really important is that you really have to take care of yourself. You really have to decide that you're worth it, and not only are you worth it, that it's important to take care of you, because particularly with women, you have so many demands, so many people tugging at you, and sometimes we forget that we're important because we're trying to keep everybody else's schedule, everything else that everybody else needs to do straight. We're the ones that really kind of mastermind the household and what everybody needs to do, and we're the caregivers. And that's not saying that men aren't caregivers too, but we seem to do that a lot because that's been our calling. And so it's just really important that we find out ways to take care of ourselves, to not burden ourselves so much that we can't figure out what's important for us. And because when we do that, as Frankie and I were talking, when we do that, what's really happening is that we're feeling stronger about who we are. We're feeling more confident about where we are and where we're going. We're feeling better about ourselves and the choices that we make, and even the choices of friends, even the choices of partners that we choose. That changes when we feel better about who we are. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit because I'm in a book called about the Baby Handbook for Baby Boomers for Women, and it's a wonderful book. And one of the chapters, it's a co-authored book, and one of the chapters that I've written in that book is really about creative living, because as we're talking about midlife, a lot of women at midlife start thinking, okay, from here on in, it's downhill. And I'm going to say that I can attest that from here on in, it just really gets better. And so thinking about yourself in a very creative way, realizing that you have the ability and the wherewithal to create and recreate yourself many times over is something that's very important. And midlife, as Frankie was talking about earlier, is really the fine time to kind of do that self-reflection and find out where you are and see where you want to go. If, in fact, you're no longer living the values, or you're no longer resonating with the values of your family, and the values that you seem to have embraced are no longer what's happening for you or what makes you feel good, then you need to really not only do a shift, but you need to do that analysis, as I was talking earlier, and you need to figure out what is so important about you and how are there ways. Frankie earlier was talking about more women in midlife are looking for ways to serve, and I think that's really very true from my own research. And as we do that, as we learn how to serve, we feel better about ourselves and find out what our niches in serving other people, it really helps move ahead. Now, there's somebody on the line next who knows all about service, and that's Carol Doyle, who's a leading expert in empowering women 50-plus to be who they're created to be. I love that line. She's launched a new product category and developed and marketed health promotion programs for nonprofit. Carol's also served in women's ministry from 2004 to 2009, and she is currently the founder and editor of livingbetteratfifty.com, which is an online magazine, and I love the magazine. I do some writing for it as well. It's an online magazine that's a trusted resource for women over 50 where they can find up-to-date information by covering what matters most to women 50-plus. So we're going to talk to Carol and find out all about Carol and what that magazine is about. Carol, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay, Joanne?
Perfectly. Glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So let's just dive right in, because I love your online magazine, and it serves so many different women, and it really is inspiring. It has inspirational stories and ideas, and like I said, it is a resource for women. So what gave you the idea, Carol, to start this magazine in the first place?
Well, I think after turning 50 myself, I started looking for different resources, and I came across, you know, a number of online websites, and many of them are really great, and, you know, I enjoy other online publications, but there was, to me, something kind of missing, and so I thought it might be a great time and opportunity to develop a magazine online that would kind of serve this niche and fill in some of the things that I was looking for that I didn't find in other publications. And so, yeah, that kind of gave me the inspiration. And I think I was just at a point in my life, this season of our life is, you know, it seems to be a time of transition for a lot of women. And I myself had made a major move from the Pacific Northwest to Southeast Louisiana, so I'm in New Orleans. And, you know, sometimes when we make changes like that, you know, we're open to new things. And so, yeah, that's a couple things that led to the launching of developing of livingbetteratfifty.com.
You know, Frankie and I were talking all about change and metamorphosis, and like you said, it is a time during midlife where you start looking at and making changes. Certainly moving is a big change that you had to handle personally. What can you tell women that was one of the most important lessons that you've learned by being a woman in her 50s? Because I think that we're teachers to one another, and if you could shed some insight on what one of those experiences were, those life lessons are, it really will benefit others too.
Well, I think for me, something that became very apparent and important was really having a dream and a vision of what I wanted to do next in this season of my life. And I think for women in our age range, you know, there's, you know, familial changes, you know, kids grow up and leave home and the empty nest situation that, you know, often gives us an opportunity, if you look at it in a positive way, because it gives me a hard transition in time as well. But, you know, I saw it as an opportunity to do something new. And what I realized from the change that I made, just the physical move, and then I had made a decision to, a small decision, but it ended up really leading to kind of a big change for me, and that is I started running again. And I just thought, you know what, because I'm 50 doesn't mean I shouldn't, you know, that I can't run. And so it was kind of a challenge for me, and I started running again. And that just kind of led to some, you know, I think it was a very healthy move, and I started, it started generating the thoughts and the creative juices again, which, you know, exercise can do. You know, how, that's why it's so important that we take care of ourselves. But that led to kind of a change, another physical change for me, and I lost 22 pounds. And that was just a real motivator. But it made me realize I was kind of at a place of being very apathetic almost, just living my life day to day, and I'd gotten into kind of a rut. So I would say one of the most important things for women in this season of our lives is that you need to have a dream. And if we lose our dreams, we lose so much of who we are and ourselves. And it's something that I think is monumental, having a vision and a dream.
You know, I totally agree with you. And not only that, I want to add to that a little bit, because oftentimes the dreams that we once had are dashed, or maybe we can no longer attain them for whatever reason. But that doesn't mean that you can't take hold of a new dream. And particularly in midlife, there are so many stories like yours, Carol, wherein women are making different changes. They're moving from one career to another. They're changing their life, going back to school. And certainly that's part of creating a new dream. So I am totally in support of having a dream, and I think our dreams can change. And rather than saying my old dream is gone and kind of feeling very depressed about it or resigned about it, maybe that dream is gone so that there's another dream to take its place. And that's the way I would like us to look at it, too. So let's talk more about Living Better at 50+, because it's a great website. And what are some of the topics that are covered on Living Better at 50+?
Yeah, our website, it's livingbetterat50.com, livingbetterat50.com. And we are a magazine that covers what you would typically find in a women's magazine and publication. Everything, I say everything from health to wealth. But we cover the sections that we cover, features include health and fitness, and beauty and fashion, and home and food and travel, and then love and relationships. And then we have a special section called Women of Faith, and we include daily devotions, and then we have a community section. So that's kind of the full spectrum of what we cover. But we really focus on any topics that are relevant to women in our age category. And it's funny, we are livingbetterat50.com, but we also, we have about 20% of our women are between 35 and 49. So we do have content and features that really apply to women, you know, regardless of their age, and things like such as diet and fitness, but we, you know, put a little bit more of a spin on it and focus on for women 50 plus.
You know, you would talk. Go ahead.
Excuse me. And I forgot one of my favorite sections, really, is money and business, because I'm an entrepreneur at heart, and that's always a love that I've had for many years. And so that's another topic or category that we cover.
You talked about exercise and deciding to run, and how that really changed you and changed your body. And certainly It works with changing your mind and allowing you to feel good when all those endorphins are flowing. And I think there's so much in terms of statistics, and I want to mention that to our listeners, that suggests that exercise is not just about getting slimmer or being in shape, and yes, it can do that, but it's really what it does, and Carol, you can attest to this, what it does is it also keeps our brains in shape. It's one of the ways to keep us more alert, and it works in gear with keeping us more healthy, so it has a lot of benefits that are not just about looking good, and we all want to look good, so it's not that, not just saying that it's not about looking good, but there are other benefits that we really need to pay attention to. So what advice can you give women about how they can discover what they could be passionate about or what they're passionate about? Is there some kind of formula for them to use? How would you suggest that?
Well, one of the things that I've done in discovering my own passions is years ago, I was in my 20s, and I was part of a kind of a mastermind group back then in Seattle area, and there was a man that had started the whole concept of dream boarding, and he was on the morning show, and he was one of my business partners, and I had actually put together a dream board, I think it was in 1981. And there's a very powerful effect and connection between our dreams and our thoughts and visions or pictures. And so when I did that dream board, I pulled it out years later, and basically it just, you know, you cut out pictures of things that to you represent what's important in your life and kind of your goals and dreams and such. So, and it's very powerful. I pulled it out years later and realized that many of the things that I had, pictures and images had come to pass in my life, and I had forgotten about some of those things. I mean, even down to, you know, silly details like I had a picture of a dog, a Labrador Retriever, which much later, and not until the 90s, I ended up with a black lab and a yellow lab. So, and I just thought, I chuckled about that. I thought, that's interesting. But there's a thing that's called Reticular Activating System, RAS for short, and it's the easiest way I can explain it is if you drive down the street and you've just bought a new car, you know, Honda or whatever, all of a sudden you notice all the other Hondas like your car. And there's a thing that we are attracted to, the very things that we kind of physically and visually focus on in our life. And so we really do tend to attract the very things that we are focused on, and that's why I think it's so important to, you know, to have a positive attitude. It's probably one of our best tools in helping us to accomplish, you know, our goals and dreams. So in discovering our passions, for me that was something that was very powerful, and I've done others since back in the 80s, and I've even done it with my family. We used to do it on New Year's Day with our kids. And it's just a great way to, you know, kind of pull out in the visuals with and to match your dreams and goals, and then have something physically that you can take a look at or have. I sometimes have it, you know, above my desk and move it around, even like when I'm exercising, and it just reinforces those passions and those thoughts.
You know, it's really important because, like you said, our brains respond and also think in pictures. And so having some kind of vision board or something like that where you're creating images of what you desire, of what you want, really helps the brain to focus on that. And I'm in such agreement that what we're focusing on needs to be positive, because we are bringing that into our lives either through energy or also through that, excuse me, that RAS that we've been talking about. Now, you have this incredible website. Can you give us a story, maybe a story about the website, about maybe some of the people that it's changed or it's helped? Because oftentimes when there is a website, people will write in and talk about how there was such an inspiration or it helped to change their lives in some way. Do you have something like that to share with the listening audience?
Yeah, I do. Well, I first of all, I feel really privileged to work with the women I get to work with, and sometimes it's like, I can't believe I get to do this on a daily basis. And we have now over 420 contributors, and not all of them contribute every month or on a regular basis. Some of them have submitted excerpts from books they've written, but many end up writing additional articles for us, as you do. And we have just great women that from all over the United States, and as well as Australia, the UK, Canada. Anyway, it's fun. And yes, the stories, I mean, I get emails. I probably get about 1,000 emails a week, and many the feedback from women that are touched by the content, the articles, the stories are what, as you said, are the really the most powerful, I think, thing that really touches the lives of other women. And just recently, I had a woman send me an email, and she had read an article by one of our contributors, and it was on relationships, and it really touched her. And she lost the son who had committed suicide, and mm-hmm. then her husband had a heart attack, and, you know, in 50-something years old, and you know, some really, very difficult circumstances that, you know, it's just even hard to imagine. But through the community, I think that we're kind of establishing and creating, women are reaching out to one another, and just either through their writing, their stories. And then some are actually starting to contact one another. And I've had now a number of women that have actually met with other contributors and other women in our community. And so we see that starting to happen. And so we're very excited because we're planning to go offline. And this summer we're hitting the road. We're kind of, the campaign is livingbetteratfifty.com is hitting the road. And we are planning to host our first event in October 2012 in Los Angeles. And so I think one of the greatest things that I'm starting to see from the publication and our work is that we're really starting to see a community develop.
Isn't that wonderful when that happens? Community is so very, very important. And yes, now, Living Better at 50 Plus, you also just recently launched a radio show, right? Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we did. It's Secrets to Living Better at 50 Plus, and we're on W4WN, and it's the number one internet woman's radio show in the world. They had like 6 million impressions last year. We don't get that many, but we just launched the show in February, and we've just really been honored with many of our contributors that are awesome women, again, like you, that have, joined us for our show, and so it's been a lot of fun. We've covered everything from, you know, relationships and love, marriage, to finances. We have a show coming up on finances and money management and fun stuff. Last week we had three fashionistas, I think. Scarlett DeBeese from New York and Julianne Stittig out of Los Angeles and Sheila Dix out of Nova Scotia. So three women from very different areas of North America that talked about dressing better as a woman 50 plus, or dressing our best.
how that, you know, I think that's great, and I want to come on and talk about creative aging. How can women find out about this show and listen to it? Can you give them that information again, Carol?
Sure, it's really easy. The show is on Thursdays, and it's at 3 o'clock Eastern time, 12 noon Pacific time, and it's at. You can go to the website WN, as in Women Network. So W4WN.com. And the show will be live. It's, you know, we have our show is live on Thursdays, and they also air our show once or twice during the week.
It sounds great, and I love the expansion, going on the road and going live in October. That sounds very exciting, and I just think that what started as this dream, this vision, yes, you have a strong entrepreneurial background, but it was this vision and this dream that you've been talking about, Carol, that has allowed you and many other women, like you're saying, to connect and to receive information and guidance and support and community. And so I just think you're doing a great job with that, and it's so very important what you are doing. What would you like women at 50-plus to know? If somebody said to you, Carol, tell us three things you want women at 50 to know, maybe not necessarily about you, we only have a few minutes, but just generally speaking, what would you say?
Well, first, you know, I would like to state that you had mentioned I have an entrepreneurial background, but, you know, there's nothing special about me, nothing out of the ordinary that any other woman, if she puts her mind to it, cannot accomplish great things. It really takes, you know, having a vision, having a dream, and hard work and perseverance and surrounding yourself with other like-minded people that can support you and encourage you. That's really critical. But I would say there's three things that have kind of surfaced for us as an organization, and it's become our theme. And as a matter of fact, our offline event that we're planning to have in Los Angeles is kind of health and beauty and fashion focus, is that women are beautiful. They are exceptional, and they are powerful. And I always put that in, you are beautiful, you are exceptional, you are powerful. And I think women need to know that. And I'm not talking about a beauty that's skin deep. I'm talking about the wisdom and the character of a mature woman, the things that have developed us into, you know, being overcomers. And we may still have struggles. I mean, we all have issues. We all have struggles in our life. But it's really how we handle those. And so that beauty and being exceptional and powerful, every woman has that within her.
You know what, Carol, I think that's a great way to end. Give us the website once more so that people could go to it and connect with you.
It's livingbetterat50.com, livingbetterat50.com. And if you don't remember the website address, you can now just type in Living Better or Living Better 50, and you'll find us on the first page.
Great. Well, I wish you the best of luck with all your endeavors, and obviously it's not luck. Like you said, it's work and energy and connecting with some wonderful people that you have, and it's been an honor to have you on the show, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's been an honor to join you today. I appreciate the invitation and look forward to having you on our show.
I can't wait. I love it.
Okay, Joanne.
Thanks, Carol. Folks, just remember to tune in to Carol Doyle and check out livingbetterat50.com and check out the radio show, because it's really happening and it's really about you, and it's time to do things for you. And this is one way, particularly, not only to do things for you, but to reach out to other women, to get great advice, to find a community. Maybe it's the community that you've been looking for. And so really make sure that you get in touch with Carol and get in touch with that community and take a look at the articles. They're fun. I know I've enjoyed writing articles for livingat50.com, and I think that you would enjoy reading. There's so many diverse articles and so many diverse people on there. Now, I just want to leave you folks with something that I've written, the Baby Boomers Handbook for Women, and basically I talk about the tenets of creative aging, and one thing I think is very important is that oftentimes at this age, as Frankie was talking and as Carol was talking, it's about change and transition and also sometimes letting go. And I say before we can creatively claim or reclaim ourselves, the first task is one of letting go. To move from one life stage to another is not always easy, but can run more smoothly when you know what to anticipate. So oftentimes we don't know what to anticipate, but we need to know that we're anticipating change and that regardless of where we are, change is going to happen. And if we can get comfortable with that idea, it will make that transition, that change, that metamorphosis, as Frankie was talking about earlier, so much better. So I want to leave you with what Carol said because I think it's very, very important. And I want you, instead of saying you are, I want you to think about this for yourself. I am beautiful. I am exceptional. I am powerful. And if you use that as an affirmation or a mantra or whatever it is, I think that that would start taking hold because we don't usually think about ourselves in that way. And it's really time to applaud you, all your strengths, all your own special beauty, as Carol said, that's really skin deep within, and really remember how exceptional and how powerful you are and you can be. This is Dr. Joanne White. You can find me on my website, www.drjoannewhite.com. There are many articles on the show, on the website, many freebies, and also find out a lot about our upcoming show next week. We have John E. Welshens, who is a respected contemporary spiritual teacher, and Helen Arabanos, and she's going to be talking about He's Into You. She's a feng shui consultant outside of Los Angeles, and we're going to have a very diverse show, and it's going to focus on you and on powering your life. So until next time, thank you for sharing your day with us. Have a blessed day, not only today and every day, and shine your light on you. It's been a pleasure to be here. Have a great day.
Been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.